This is a Hog Sports Network podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, June edition. It's been a minute since we've all seen you all, so hope everybody's summer is going well. I'd like to think mine is going okay, but yeah. How are we doing, gentlemen?
I'm doing fine.
I just got back from a cabin trip in the beautiful Buffalo River area of the state, so that was good. I'm a little burnt, a little crispy, but... That's kind of where you want to be at in June, I think, you know, other than maybe Omaha for the College World Series, but here we are.
A burn today is a tan tomorrow, but I digress. All right, I'm Anthony Christensen, joined by, of course, Bob Holt and Ethan Westerman to my right, Blake Sutton behind the scenes, almost mispronounced his name. We're talking some Arkansas men's and women's basketball. Both the teams now on campus, as far as I'm aware, getting their summer workouts started. And doing all of that, and obviously looking at the inaugural roster of Coach John Calipari at Arkansas. He has his nine guys. As he said, he wanted eight or nine players for his first season. And the ninth one was a little bit out of left field, maybe. Trevin Brazil coming back after testing the NBA draft waters and obviously going into the transfer portal as well. I guess just talking about Trevin Brazil and just kind of just initial reactions of him coming back for either of you guys.
I guess I'm a little surprised he's back in college because he announced, you know, ESPN had a story and he said he's entering the draft and he's staying in the draft. And, you know, I think this was right after Cal got hired and he said, hey, great hire by Arkansas. But, you know, it seemed pretty clear he did, you know, even the hire of Cal was not going to lure him back to Arkansas. And I totally got where he was coming from because he, you know, missed most of his sophomore season tearing up his knee, and then he'd had knee soreness. And you think, well, the guy probably – I know there's NIL money, but if he's going to risk his knee, he probably wants to be getting paid better for it. And I think he was probably projected as a second-round pick, so I could see him I could have seen him going somewhere, you know, as a top 40 pick, and then – maybe he makes that team. Maybe he's on the two-way contract, you know, playing in the G League, whatever. Kind of like Jordan Walsh, who's got an NBA ring. That's something else we can talk about. And so then I was a little surprised when he went back in the portal. I thought, well, you know, he must not be getting the feedback he wants. So it's good the guys have options, you know. And I didn't really think he'd come back to Arkansas. But obviously one thing, you know, John Calipari, he's won college, obviously, at a high level. Nothing he's done is put guys in the NBA, and they've been high picks. And I'm not saying Trevin's going to be the number one overall pick, but I'm sure that was part of the sales pitch, is you come back, you know, you're not here. Because let's face it, if Trevin heard he was going to be a first-round pick, he would be gone. And so he's back, and hopefully, you know, I'm sure the goal is to play his way into being a first-round pick or a high second pick. And so, and Cal has proven to be a guy that can help players do that. And I think, you know, these are all new teammates for Trevin, but they're guys in some cases he played against in the SEC. And, you know, he's at least familiar with the landscape here. You know, he can tell them here's a good place to eat or whatever. But I think it's good to have Trevin's, you know, I know people may have been frustrated by the injuries or that he hadn't produced better at being a preseason first round, or not first team all SEC. But I think if he's healthy, he can be a pretty dynamic player. So I think it's a big plus to get him back. And a pleasant, I'd call it a pleasant surprise if I were Arkansas.
And then just kind of talking about his fit and kind of a Calipari system, obviously, you know, looking at, I think it's probably going to be, or at least fair to say, it's probably going to be a similar system to what he ran at Kentucky last season with how many guys are following him to Arkansas. Where do you think he maybe fits into a system along those lines for either one of you guys?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of weird because you think about whenever Arkansas played at Kentucky last year, I think Brazil actually had a really good game in that game, and he was kind of doing what, you know, the things that made him a draft prospect in the first place, why people are so high on him. He was you know, he was shooting the ball well. If I remember correctly, he was hitting some really tough, like, mid-rangers, honestly, like kind of making those pro type of moves. He was flying up and down the court. I think that, like asking how he's going to fit into a Calipari system. I think that that's really kind of, you want to have the pieces around him, like, to, if it's going to be similar to last year, to where, you know, that I think of that Kentucky team, I think that they could really score the ball. I think with Brazil, what you want is him to be just comfortable in a system to where he can do all those things that made him a draft prospect in the first place. You know, his crazy athleticism, his ability to step out and knock down threes. I think that kind of his fit, in my opinion, would just be like based on how are people creating for him, if that makes sense. Like, I think last year, there were a lot of times that we saw Brazil, especially early when he got back from his injury, I felt like he was almost trying to do too much and not letting it come to him. I think that he'll do well in the system with some of these guys that can maybe, you know, open things up for him a little bit on their own. I just don't really know. Like, it's hard to say after last season watching Brazil if he's going to get back to, you know, that real before we go back to his first injury in his first year here, that just dominant player he was in Maui. It's like, will he ever get back to just being that consistently? Hopefully, you know, for his sake, that another offseason of getting to, you know, gain some confidence, maybe get a little healthier, will help him get back to that.
Yeah, I think with the size Arkansas has added inside, you know, even though he's 6'10", he's obviously not a back-to-the-basket guy. He's kind of wiry. And he obviously can dunk with anybody, but I think, you know, you'd really like him to be kind of the classic stretch force, or even a, quote, small forward for a 6'10 guy. He likes to play on the perimeter. He can knock that shot down. Hopefully he gets better at it. I think he probably needs to be better at driving to the basket, but I think there may be some more lanes in there with some of the inside guys they've got. So, like Ethan said, I think, man, if you get back the guy that you saw in Maui, that's a huge, huge plus for Arkansas.
And before we move on to our next topics, we've got the 2024 Arkansas Football Preview Magazine. We've got position previews for every position group on the team with an interview from head coach Sam Pittman as well. You know, we've got previews on every single opponent that they're going to play, at least in the regular season. And then a couple of features as well. It looks great. Shout out to our managing editor, Christina Long, and all the people who designed it. Looks great. And for the price of, as Bob said, less than a fast food burger, you can get some great content as well.
And so, I'm someone who's bought a lot of fast food burgers, as you can tell.
But yeah, you can find that on our website, wholehogsports.com, or in select areas around, you know, the Northwest Arkansas area. But now moving on, Ethan, I wanted to talk a little bit about the women's team. Obviously, gotten some hitting the junior college portal and the international market as well. I guess you need to talk about this roster. How is it kind of coming together? You know, kind of looking ahead to, you know, the season.
Yeah, it's funny because this time last year, you asked to talk. If anybody asked me to talk about the Arkansas roster coming back, like, I knew everything about him. It was, he didn't go the transfer portal route. It was Mike Neighbors kept his same team pretty much. He said, I just want to, you know, give them another year to play together and use that chemistry that they were supposed to have, you know, to have a good season. This is the total opposite. I'm looking at this team and it's hard to know anything about them because it's, I mean, there's only so much you can find out about, you know, a center from the country of Malta. I mean, you can look up stats and take it with a grain of salt because you don't really know anything about the competition or whatnot. You can look at, you know, junior college prospects who tore it up in the junior college ranks, but it's like, how will that translate to SEC? All I know is that this team for the women's team is totally different. It's unlike anything that we've seen since Mike Neighbors has been here, from a standpoint of just kind of how the roster is constructed with so much of an international flair. There's two junior college prospects. I will say Kiki Smith, who they added from Hutchinson Community College, which, let's just mention real quick, Hutchinson Community College is just the gift that keeps on giving to Arkansas athletics. I think across the board, every sport, there's somebody from Hutchinson. But Kiki Smith, she was the JUCO player of the year last year, and Arkansas won a recruiting battle for over like Texas A&M and a few other major schools. So she's probably a really, really good get. You know, you look at Izzy Higginbottom, who they got from Arkansas State. She was, I think, tied for eighth last year in the Division I in scoring, so she's a great get. It's just curious, like, you don't know how this team is actually going to come together, though. I think that we won't really know much about them until actually see some practices and see if they can, you know, can play as a team. I mean, you're starting from ground zero, kind of like them. It's the same situation as the men that you are kind of starting over just from a roster, whole roster standpoint. But this is also interesting because it's not just like transfers. This is like player from Finland, player from the Netherlands, player from Malta, player from Spain. I mean, it's just a kind of a blend of all these different places. Will be interesting. Mike Neighbors talked to Christina Long, our managing editor for Hogs Illustrated, at SEC spring meetings about the group he has, and he's excited for it. It seems like they're really confident in what they have. I mean, we just don't know. I don't have anything to base it off of yet, though, other than, you know, what I've read.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, team now getting into practice for, you know, the summer sessions and everything along those lines. Getting used to each other, as Mike Neighbors called it, the United Nations, I believe.
Yeah.
Is what he was going with. But now kind of moving on from roster stuff, obviously we're starting to get some schedule tidbits as well. Obviously the ACC-SEC Challenge is set with the women's team playing against Boston College, the men's team traveling to Miami of Florida, not to be confused with Miami, Ohio, which is in the MAC, not the ACC. And obviously then the men's team also going to Madison Square Garden, reportedly, to play against Michigan, as well as a report that says they're going to be hosting Oakland as well in a little bit of a Calipari rematch of his last game of his Kentucky era. Ethan, obviously, I know you've also reported on other women's games as well, Fairfield among those. I guess just talking about the schedules, Bob, what do you kind of like about the schedule? What do you kind of hope to see out of you know, games that are going to be, I guess, coming up? What are you kind of, I guess, general opening takeaways?
Well, that Arkansas-Oakland game is going to be a lot more interesting than your run-of-the-mill late December guarantee game, I tell you that, because obviously anybody that knows anything about basketball knows Oakland knocked off Kentucky. That turned out to be John Calipari's last game at Kentucky, and some people, you could debate if that's a big reason he's at Arkansas. You know, if Kentucky, let's face it, if Kentucky goes on a Final Four run, which they were talented enough to do, he's probably still in the Commonwealth. And, you know, if you redo the NCAA tournament the week later, probably, well, I think UConn would have won, but there might have been a lot of different other outcomes. But I know Oakland's got, you know, pretty much of a new roster, and their conference player of the year was at Arizona.
Arizona, Trey Townsend.
Yeah, so, and the 24-year-old guy that hit all the sixes, I think he's,
gone, graduated.
Or something. He's, I don't know, selling insurance or something. Hopefully he can get an overseas deal or whatever. But so that's going to be a real interesting game. I would really love to know how'd that come about. I mean, was Oakland already talking to Arkansas? I have a hard time believing Cal was saying, hey, get me Oakland. I mean, maybe he did. I know he and the coach are buddies, but that's a pretty interesting deal. Or maybe it's like, hey, you know, you owe me, come play us. You know, we'll give you a guarantee. I don't know. But that's a really interesting game to me. I mean, that's going to be a game people are watching, you know, or curious about nationally. And obviously playing Miami, that's interesting because Arkansas hadn't played Miami but once, and that was in the 2000 NCAA tournament in Nashville. And Arkansas would not have been there except that they won their one and only SEC tournament. That was one of the few off years, which you want to call it that, for Nolan Richman. They were 15-14 going to Atlanta, and they won four games in 4 days. Had to win the tournament to get to the bigger tournament, and they did it. And it was a pretty good game, as I recall, against Leonard Hamilton. When Leonard Hamilton was at Miami before he went to FSU, but obviously Cal played Miami last year and were up and drilled them. That's when everybody thought Miami was going to be good, just like I thought Arkansas was going to be good. And Miami's gone off a Final Four; they were ranked in the top 10, I think. When Kentucky drilled them, they were eighth, and then they ended up like Arkansas, going under 500, had a terrible year, but they've reloaded with a bunch of transfers. Jim Larrañaga is obviously a really good coach, taking, you know, George Mason to the Final Four back in 06, I think it was, and now Miami, not exactly two schools you think of as basketball powerhouses, although I think, you know, George Mason's good for their level. And so, and of course, the game in Michigan, two first-year head coaches, but two guys at new schools with Dusty Mann and John Calipari. And of course, he's back in his element there at in New York and everything. So, those games we know about are three pretty interesting ones. And of course, you know, we know he's going back to Rupp too to play Kentucky.
Yeah, talking about Cal going up against teams that eliminated him in previous seasons, I think the one that comes to my mind is they played against Robert Morris the year after Robert Morris beat Kentucky in the NIT. Just a little fun fact for everybody, I guess. Ethan, just talking, I guess, about the women's schedule. Obviously, Boston College coming to Bud Walton Arena for the ACC SEC Challenge, and we've talked a little bit about it before, Fairfield and other games on the schedule as well. I guess, can you just talk about what you're seeing there?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like you mentioned, Fairfield being on the schedule, because people who aren't familiar with women's basketball are probably like, why does that matter? Fairfield's really good. Like, they, I think, had maybe one regular season loss last year, so that's probably Arkansas's first game, too. Like, just looking at the schedule, I think it's November 4th. Like, that's generally around the time of your first game, so hard game to start off with, if so. They've also got, like you mentioned, Boston College is their matchup for ACC-SEC, which Boston College has not been very good. The last time they made the NCAA tournament was 2005, and they try and pair up these matchups kind of based on how they think these teams are going to finish. So it tells you what probably the networks or the whoever comes up with it, I think it's ESPN, what they might think about Arkansas's team this year. But they got Boston College. They've got other important games, one at UCLA, that's date not known yet. It's just returning the back end of a home-and-home contract. Oklahoma State in Daytona Beach, they'll play them. Texas Tech is coming to Bud Walton Arena. Honestly, know a lot of their non-conference schedule so far. You can find, if you just do a quick Google search, Arkansas women's basketball non-conference schedule or something, and find our Whole Hog article. I've listed all of them there, but they've got a lot of their non-conference schedule filled already. I'm interested to see, though, how they hold up in the first few games. I think that'll set the tone for the rest of the slate, especially with having Fairfield as like the first one. You don't want to lose your first game ever, especially in a year that feels kind of this pivotal for the direction of that program.
I always do like whenever teams play against some of those higher-end mid-majors, though. Always gives them a good test, especially early in the season. Kind of gives you a little bit of a measuring stick game. I always felt like Fairfield was underseeded in the NCAA tournament as a 13 seed. But that's just me, I guess. Just kind of looking at it, obviously we know a lot of the women's schedule, but the men's schedule is still a little bit of a mystery, I suppose. I guess what games would you, if you were in charge, Bob, who would you want to see on there?
Well, I don't think we're going to see. I saw some report on Twitter that I think said they might be trying to work out something with Illinois. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I did see that. So, yeah, from Bracketeer.
Yeah, that would be a good matchup. I mean, Illinois is obviously probably not as good as they were last year, but it might be nice to see one more, big game. And of course, they got Duke last year, so they obviously had to go on the road to play Miami. And it's nice they're playing, Michigan, New York. It'd be nice to get a nice, big name opponent in Bud Walton. But of course, they're going to have, nine SEC teams in there. It'd be nice to see him play Kentucky again. I tell you, I thought somebody made a really good point. I thought the SEC and the ACC, ESPN, they missed out. Okay, you got to send Arkansas on the road, send them to Louisville. Louisville's going to be better, I think. And plus, Cal going back to Kentucky to play Louisville. And I don't know, maybe he put the kibitz on that, or kibosh or whatever that term is, because he didn't want to go back to Rupp and to Louisville. But that would, to me, that's a lot more interesting than Arkansas-Miami. Arkansas-Miami's two good programs. A coach that's won the national title and been to multiple Final Fours. Another coach has taken two programs to Final Fours. But I don't think it moves a needle like Cal going back to play Louisville. And I don't know. It's not like Miami's being projected as a Final Four team. So that's a game I think that they missed out on. And I think if ESPN had pushed for it, they'd have gotten it. I don't know how that works, you know, what the give and take is between the teams and the networks and all that stuff. But that's a game I think they missed a good opportunity for that because it was laying right there for them, you know.
Ethan, what about you? What do you think?
You know, I'm kind of with Bob that I think that all that's kind of missing from the non-conference right now from what's been reported is like a really good home non-conference game. I mean, Oakland will be intriguing for sure, but I think you always kind of want to get like some just big name to come to your arena in the non-conference. I think it helps with kind of, you know, generating some early season excitement around your program. And I mean, not that there's going to be any lacking for Arkansas this year. Like, people are going to be very invested in what's happening. But aside from that, I'm like, honestly, at this point, with kind of those games that have been announced, like, you have a pretty decent decent schedule working, especially if you just kind of fill the rest of it with just some, you know, some games that you don't think will absolutely kill your like net or whatever it is. Like, don't go out and schedule team number 351 or whatever it is, but just fill it up with some, you know, respectable mid-major programs and then get to SEC play, and that's going to be an absolute gauntlet. So
I'm intrigued to see who they open the Calipari era with. What team do they bring to, assuming they started at Bud Walton Arena, which you would think they probably want to do. I'm intrigued to see who makes that trip. But
here's a wild one. What if USC came to Arkansas?
That would be awesome. They could meet halfway, play in Las Vegas, you know, something like that. But no, that would be awesome. Yeah, that's a game maybe that doesn't get scheduled for a few years. And Musk probably feels like he's got his hands full joining the Big Ten. And but yeah, no, that would be a fun game.
In the Big Ten, obviously, there's quite a lot more travel in that league now with you know, road games all the way in Piscataway, New Jersey, from obviously Southern California. Well, guys, I think we did a good job. I think that's all on our docket for today. As always, thank you, as from myself, Anthony Christensen, Ethan Westerman, Bob Holt right beside me, Blake Sutton behind the scenes. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, listening to us kind of babble on basketball. Until next time, we'll see you. Thank you again.